You that excited about work? The word Sabbath in Hebrew, Shabbat, or sometimes Shabbat, means to cease or to rest. I've just had 3 weeks of annual leave where I have sought to cease from working and I have sought to rest as best that I can. So speaking to you this morning about Sabbath resting is somewhat appropriate. But as I will share with you this morning, it is something that I struggle with as well. Now, the fourth commandment in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, as it is known, has always been a little controversial, a little bit tricky, a little bit sticky for Christians to understand. So take a look at Exodus chapter 20 from verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, it is just as a little aside, it's just worth noting there in verse 11, how many days does it say the Lord made the earth? In the Ten Commandments, in the Decalogue, how many days? How many? Okay, just checking that you've got it right there. But there are two important questions that I want to answer about the Sabbath this morning as we go into our reading that Robert read from Exodus chapter 31. And these are the two questions. What does the Sabbath mean? And how do we keep the Sabbath today? And I'm going to do it through four headings for you. Here's the first, the precursors to the Sabbath command. That's a fancy way of saying the contexts of the Sabbath command. And as we get into this, notice a couple of things. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my commands. Notice firstly that the Sabbath is a what? It is a command. It's something that we must do. Keep that in mind. Number two, Moses says anyone who desecrates the Sabbath must be put to death. So if you disobey the Sabbath, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Okay, that's a bit scary. It's a little freaky. I'll explain that to you as well. The Sabbath is a command. Two, you're going to die if you don't keep it. Three, Moses says the Sabbath is a what? It's a sign. It's a sign. It's a command. There's death or disobedience, and it's a sign. A sign means that it points to something bigger and better. It projects itself forward into a much bigger and better reality. Keep that in mind. But here are three precursors. Here are three contexts to the command. Number one, if you've got your Bible or your iPad or whatever form it's in, and you flick back to Exodus chapter 25, which is the context, you will notice that Moses gives the Israelites a whole lot of commands how to build the tabernacle. He says, I want you to work. So if you went back to Exodus 25, you'll notice that Moses says, I want you to build the Ark of the Covenant in 25, and the table and the lampstands. In chapter 26, he says, I want you to build the actual tent of the tabernacle. In 27, it's the courtyard, it's the lampstands, it's the altar. 28, 29, it's all about the priestly garments and the consecration. And then in chapter 30, he talks about them building the altar of incense and the oil of anointing. Here's the context. He says, do all this work, and then verse 13 in chapter 31, you must obey my Sabbaths. Do you see it? Work, 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 rest. Do you see that? See the precursor? In the midst, Israel, of all your work for me, in the midst of doing all this tabernacle work, in the midst of working in the kingdom of God, you work hard and then you rest. But Lord, there's so much work to be done. Take my Sabbaths. Take my rest. Lord, it's so hard to put food on the table. Take my rest. Take my Sabbaths. Right? Stay with me. That's the first context. Here's the second one. Very important to understand that the command of the Sabbath was given to the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. The first time it's mentioned is back in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23. Very first command of the Sabbath, and it goes like this. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So important, because the Sabbath command comes after they have been rescued from Egypt. In other words, they weren't saved by Sabbath keeping. They were saved for Sabbath keeping. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You with me? Work, rest, Sabbath after they've been rescued. Third precursor. Don't ever forget that the Egyptians absolutely worked the Israelites to the bone when they were in slavery. They were never allowed to rest. They were ruthlessly worked by the Egyptians for over 400 years. Wider context, Exodus chapter 1. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labors. And they built the cities of Wittim and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites, and they worked them ruthlessly. Let me sum it up this way. Israel, an impoverished, enslaved workforce, are redeemed by the mighty hand of God to work in their kingdom, in His kingdom, to live in His kingdom, but they are commanded to take what? Sabbath rests regularly, weekly. You with me so far? Those are the precursors. Those are the contexts. Number two, therefore, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? Keeping those three things in mind, the purpose of the Sabbath was designated to slow the Israelites down so that they could take time to remember a few important things. Remember, it was so ingrained into the psyche of the Israelites that in order to stay alive, working under the Egyptians, in order to stay alive, they had to work hard. So ingrained into the psyche of the Israelites is that they overdid, they overworked, they overperformed, they overproduced. And what happened was they then took that and they mapped that onto their relationship with God, somehow thinking that they too had to work hard in order to maintain their relationship as the redeemed children of God. The Sabbath's purpose was that the Israelites might put tools down and remember this, that they did not contribute one iota to their redemption from Egypt. Think about this. The Israelites did not whistle for the flies and the gnats to come into Egypt. They did not call all the frogs into Egypt and into the palace. They didn't call down the hail. They didn't tell the sun to stop shining. They didn't bring in the darkness. They didn't kill every firstborn in Egypt so that they might be redeemed. They didn't blow the Red Sea into two walls of water so they could pass through. They did not create the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night so that the Israelites could be guided. Here's the problem. The problem was there was such an ethic of hard work for survival. It was so ingrained into the Israelites that they were ever tempted to think that somehow they needed to work in order to secure and maintain their relationship with God. They had been so conditioned, so primed over 400 years of brutal slavery that you're only something by what you do. You're only something by what you achieve. You're only something by what you produce. You've got to do something for your self-worth and identity. Here's the thing. Though the Israelites had been saved by the Spirit of God out of Egypt, they still carried the spirit of Pharaoh within them. And they projected this work ethic. They mapped it onto their relationship with God. I want to say to you this morning, that's one of the great satanic lies. It's one of the great temptations that you and I continue to face as the children of God. We have been rescued by the mighty hand of God in Jesus, but somehow we continue to think that we've got to do what? We've got to work. We've got to do something to maintain this glorious status as the children of God. Just think about this for a moment. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and he was being punished for all your sin, all the punishment for all your sin, ask yourself this question: what contribution did you make? What did you contribute? Something or nothing? I hope it's nothing. You ain't do something for that. What did you contribute? When Jesus Christ, in agony, cried out from the cross, and we sang it earlier, the first song, "It is finished, it is finished, the work of saving all my people, it is done." Let me ask you, what did you contribute? Nothing. Nothing. I grew up in an era, 80s and 90s, you'll figure out my age by that sort of little hint there. But I tell you, I grew up in an era where it was an ethic to work hard. If you didn't bust your guts at work, if you didn't work the long hours, you didn't work the extra hours, you didn't do the overtime, you were considered a lazy gnat. I grew up with hardworking parents. I started working at the age of 14. When I became a Christian, all the pastors around me were workaholics. Just as a little aside, they're all pushing to a four-day week now, aren't they? Read this morning, even Bill Gates says AI will replace everything. We'll only have to work 2 days a week. Yay! Moving on. If you'll excuse the pun, here is the issue at work. Work is good. It's a good thing. God gave us work as part of the original creation, but it was so corrupted at the fall that instead of work being something of pure enjoyment and work being an expression of God working for us, it's been so corrupted that we now use work to either secure or maintain our relationship with God, and we use work as a means of self-identity, self-worth, and self-image and those sort of things. See, just like the Israelites of old, though we are saved by the outstretched arms of Jesus at the cross alone, you and I are ever enticed to self-reliance. We are ever enticed to be satisfied by the things that we work for. Let me show you a wonderful quote by Dallas Willard. "Desire is infinite. Partly because we're made by God, made for God, made to need God, and made to run to God. We can therefore only be satisfied by the one who is infinite, eternal, and able to supply all our needs. We are only at home in God. When we fall away from God, the desire for the infinite remains, but it is displaced that will ultimately lead to our destruction." You see, the design of the Sabbath was never meant to be a legalistic day of no work and then just a whole lot of do's and don'ts. It was a day to remember that God works for the salvation of his people, not we work for the salvation. Here's a great quote by Marva Dorn. She said this. She said, "The Sabbath, in essence, is the practicing of the sovereignty of God. The Sabbath is, in essence, the practicing of the sovereignty of God." We could put it like this. The Sabbath was a kind of protest against the idols of hurriedness, busyness, overwork, and productivity. I want to ask you today, brothers and sisters, has much changed? Are these not still the same idols that we need to guard against? Are these not the same idols that we carry today? The truth be told is that we can carry these idols around like some sort of badge of honor, like it's somehow a godly virtue to be so busy, so hurried, so overworked, so productive, so efficient. I mean, is it any wonder we're so stressed out, maxed out, and burnt out? As pastors, we're the worst. We are the absolute worst. Here's a quote from the Bureau of Statistics, 2023. Pastoral burnout is a significant issue amongst clergy in Australia, with surveys indicating high levels of stress, loneliness, and consideration of leaving the ministry. A 2023 survey found that approximately 35% of Australian ministers, pastors, seriously considered quitting, with family suffering and loneliness cited as two top reasons, followed by work stress. A guy called Stephen Smith, he put it like this. He said, Sabbath, when practiced, is an act of protest against a culture that's always on, always available, always looking for something else to do. Timothy Keller, who is now at rest with Christ in heaven, when he was alive, made this famous quote. He said, the ability to rest is perhaps the greatest validity of your faith. And if you can't say amen to the next one, then you're going to have to say, ouch, that's a tribute to Vodi Bachum, who died recently. When work is an idol, rest will feel like a sin. Amen? Can you identify? So let me put it together like this. The Sabbath was a good gift from a good God to his people. It was a gift to his people to rest from work so that they could remember who they belong to by God's work. The Sabbath was a weekly reminder that we are not defined by what we do. We are defined by whose we are, by grace. And Sabbath was a good health gift. You with me? So, three, we go to the projection of the Sabbath command. See, Christians will often turn around and say things like, well, the Sabbath's in the fourth command, it's in the Decalogue, therefore we should practice it in the same way. The answer is absolutely not. Why? Because it's a sign. A sign points to something bigger and better. A sign points to a more prolific salvation than was ever achieved in the Exodus. Have a look at it with Jesus. Then he said to them in Mark 2, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now here's what this means. If Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, it means that there was going to be a time coming when God's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would bring about a deliverance, a rescue that would make the Exodus look like small play. The Exodus, flies, gnats, frogs, goats. No, there weren't goats in there. You know what I mean. All that stuff. I mean, it was massive. It was extraordinary. It was wonderful. I want to say the Exodus was absolutely insane. But it was a mere taster of the deliverance that would come by Jesus when the Father would stretch out his hands against his firstborn at the cross. You see, the Israelites were ultimately redeemed by the blood of the firstborn killed in Egypt. We are ultimately rescued from the slavery of sin, death, and hell by the blood of the firstborn Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's the projection. And then you start to see the fulfillment in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. Look at it carefully. Joshua takes the people into the promised land, but it says this, if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works just as God did from his. Can you see, therefore, that the primary way that you keep the Sabbath today is to stop trying to work for your salvation and trust in God's work for you in Jesus Christ. You keep the Sabbath every day by trusting that what Jesus did alone was sufficient. It was enough to save you. Sabbath resting is resting in Christ alone to redeem you. Oh, you should be taking a deep breath. Isn't it wonderful? Beautiful. And you say, but where's that death thing come in? Here it comes. Back in Exodus 31, if the Israelites, if they were running around, plowing, sowing, reaping, watering, buying and selling on the Sabbath, they weren't slowing down and they weren't remembering that God was Jehovah Jireh that would supply both their earthly needs and their spiritual needs. If they were not remembering God, the elders of the community could take them outside the camp and stone them to death. You say, how on earth does that apply today? I'm going to put it to you simply and squarely as I can. Listen carefully. If you don't keep the Sabbath by trusting in Jesus' work for you. If you don't keep the Sabbath by trusting in Jesus' work for you, at some point God's going to put you to death and send you to hell. Why? Because Sabbath, to break the Sabbath means you do not trust in what Jesus did for you alone. And you break the Sabbath in one of two ways. Either you outright reject Christ as Messiah, or you say, well, I need to believe in Jesus, but I'm going to put on a whole lot of extras. As most of you know, I've just spent 2.5 weeks in South Africa looking after my elderly mum. And she's sick and she's dying of a debilitating disease. But while I was there, I had an opportunity to go and visit a lifelong family friend. She lived in Cape Town. I went to go and spend the day with her. She's dying of cancer. Probably the last time I would see her, she'll probably be dead within a month. I'm gonna show you the text that I sent to her after my visit. And then I'm going to show you her reply. You can read between the lines which religion she belongs to. Dear, this was my text to our friend. Dear, it was lovely to see you and spend time with you. You know, for all our differences on things, the heart of the issue is this. It is Jesus alone, through faith alone in what he has done. The rest is mist. And I just want you to hold on to Jesus Christ alone for eternal life and none of the extras. You want to see her reply? She said, "Night, Paul. It was great to see you. So sorry for having to leave so early. Some of us poor sinners need the extras. You take special care." Blessings. Brothers and sisters, we don't need the extras. What we need is Jesus Christ alone. He's enough. He's sufficient. He did it all in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. We don't need, as poor sinners, do not need the extras. Okay, so number four. So how do we practice the Sabbath today? What does that look like in everyday life today? Let me give you a couple of things. Here's the first one. We've said it already, but just to press it. The first way, the primary way we keep the Sabbath today is to trust. Trust in Jesus today. Why? Why today? Because you might not see tomorrow. Just so it's clear, Saturday is not the Sabbath today. Sunday is not the Sabbath. You keep the Sabbath every day by trusting Jesus every day that what he did for you was enough. So my question to you is, are you keeping the Sabbath right now? Have you put your trust in Jesus today? Are you Sabbath resting today? Because today is the day of salvation. Are you trusting that what Jesus did for you was enough right now? Because then you're keeping the Sabbath. And you're breaking the Sabbath when you do not accept Jesus as Lord or holding on to some of the extras? One, trust. Here's a second one. Practical outworking of the Sabbath, church. Part of Sabbath practice, Sabbath keeping, not in any sort of law way, is that we come together as the church, as God's gathered people to worship Him together. Part of Sabbath keeping is coming to wonderful churches like BBC. Just by the way, BBC is the best church in the world. I've discovered that by going across to South Africa. But we come together as God's people in local churches like this one. We need to be weekly reminded and refreshed by the work of Jesus for us. You need to be reminded every single week. Why? Because your heart, like mine, is so easily enticed back into what? Works. Like, I have to do something, or I have done something, or I must do something to keep this wonderful thing called redemption. Think about it this way. Just as the Israelites, they needed time to remember and reflect on God's work for them, don't we need the same? Now, I shared with you up front this morning, I am by nature an overworker. I'm an overdoer. You know the problem is? Honestly, I am ever enticed to get my sense of identity and worth by what I do, by being a pastor, by being a preacher. I struggle. Yeah, I struggle. Because it's so hardwired within me back to self-reliance. I think I'm something because I've done something. I think I'm something because I've done so many somethings. You see, church, it's supposed to be the beautiful place where we come and relax. Come and get refreshed. Come and celebrate that it's God's work for us, not our work for Him. Trust. Practical outworking. Church is a third. Sabbath, seek 24-hour periods. Now, again, not in a law, and I'll come back to this at the end. It's a healthy practice to try and seek sort of a 24-hour period or a lengthy period where you're ceasing from those normal activities of work, where you are tools down. Now, please, folks, I get it. I get baby season, okay? That ain't always possible, right? You've got babies coming out and moms and dads. You've got to negotiate these things. But it's helpful to try and have some time where perhaps you're sleeping in a little bit. You're not rushing off somewhere. You're trying to have an extended quiet time. You're listening to some good Christian music. You're reading some good Christian books. Healthy practice. It's not law. Practice. Here's another one. Detox. You've got to take times when you are detoxing from that. Show me your phone. It's right there. It's probably beeping in your pocket, right? There are times when you've got to detox from that thing. You've got to get away from the SMSs, the emails, the Instagram, the X, the Twitter, the YouTube, the endless scrolling through those reels. Another one is this. It's recreation. Whatever that looks like for you. For me, it's a bit of golf. For me, it's walking on the beach. For me, as you can see, it's eating good food. South Africa is good for food, by the way. No, I have not had KFC, not for 3 weeks. Stop it. Sabbath practice, Sabbath keeping. It's time with family. It's time with friends. It's that man cave thing. You got a man cave? Go into it. You got a woman cave? I don't even know what that looks like. But just go into it. Whatever. Here's the next Sabbath practice, and it's going to surprise you. Sleep. Sabbath practice is sleeping. All the moms are going, amen. Look at this in Psalm 127. 127 verse 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those that he loves. Do you know why sleep is such a wonderful gift? Because when you're sleeping, you absolutely have no control over anything. It's such a wonderful expression of Sabbath resting because you are ceasing from your work like no other. And what God actually says, I want you to sleep, one, for your health, just also to remember, who's looking after you? Who's looking after you when you sleep? Who's taking care of you? Who's taking care of your kids? Who's taking care of your job? Who's taking care of anything when you're sleeping? Is it you? Not a chance. But you're lying there at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering, what the heck, right? Sleep, or daily sleep, is a daily Sabbath. The next one will surprise you. Tithing. It might sound strange, but listen to me. When you are giving generously to the work of the gospel in your local church, when you're giving generously to those in need, those that God brings across your path, it could be compassion, it could be just whoever, stranger, whatever that looks like. When you're giving generously, not foolishly, when you're giving generously, you are trusting God to provide that which you have given. When you're tithing, you're resting in God to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to make up what I've given. Tithing is a Sabbath resting practice because you are resting in God to provide what you need. Other things that should be Sabbath practicing, annual holidays, annual leave, like I've just had, long service leave, those are kind of Sabbaths. But please remember, they're not meant to be times where you completely become like a hermit, where you've gone off for 5 or 6 months and you have no contact and see no one. It is meant to be a time of refreshment, a time of relax, a time of rejuve, a time of just resetting something that I've just had myself. Let me give you one more, and then I'm going to give you one comment, and then I'm done. Here's another Sabbath practice. Office Sabbaths. I got that expression from a guy called Peter Scazzaro. He wrote the book Emotionally Healthy Church or Emotionally Healthy Life. He's one of those gurus. I like listening to him on my Sabbaths. And he used this thing. He said, you need to take office Sabbaths. And what he meant by that is you're at work and you can just take a few moments, a minute here or there, just to do what? Just to stop. Just to stop and breathe. Man, you're on top of your hangar. Okay, be careful on the top there. You're in front of the computer and you're writing that email. You're reading that book, whatever, and you just got to stop and breathe and, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm in your grace. Help me. Help me to remember that this is not giving me my worth and identity. Whatever, they're called little Sabbath breaks. He says, you know, if you get a lunchtime, instead of going to feed your face on the next YouTube reel, go and take out your Bible, go and pray, go and breathe, go and relax. I want to tell you, it's hard to break hard habits. Or should I say, it's hard to break unhealthy habits. You've got to work at it. So let me say this in closing. The moment that you take Sabbath and make it law, you've missed it. The moment you take Sabbath and make it law, you've completely messed it up. The moment you say, well, the Sabbath is this day or that day, the moment you say, you have to do this and you have to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that, you've missed it. You've messed it up. Sabbath is going to fit and flex with each of us in different ways. So let me give you an example. My Sabbathy day is a Friday. It's my Sabbathy day. In negotiation with my wife, of course, I get to sleep in a little. Just a little longer than normal. I normally have an extended quiet time, just reading the Bible a little bit more, just spending a time just praying, and just praying for you, praying for others, whatever the Lord is just doing in that space. On my Sabbathy day, I like to go down to the beach with my dogs. Then I have to wash them afterwards, which is a pain. I then have to get into the garden, but that's a relax. I just put some earpods in, some Christian music, and that's what I do. But here's the problem. Some of you don't even like my dogs. No, I didn't say that. Some of you don't even like dogs. Some of you don't like the beach. Some of you, like Heidi, you like to go and look at flowers and fungus in the heaven knows where, who knows where. I like sitting on the rock looking at, that's my Sabbathy space. Friends, please don't make Sabbath law. Just relax. Just relax. It's wonderful. Jesus has done it. Jesus done it all. And we can come together and celebrate His resting every week, and we can enjoy the good gifts that God has given us. Dear folks, it's not hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. It's hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to Sabbath. Resting, we go. Are you resting in Jesus? Are you resting in Jesus today? Let's have the gathering team up. And we're going to sing a wonderful song that really, when you've got it and when you get it, this is one of the songs that you want to sing. Let's stand together.